If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Genesis. Just open to the first page of your Bible. Genesis 1, verse 1. We're going to start at the very beginning. And if we had a title to this message, it is, Acting on One Word from God Can Change Your Life. Now, I could just say, one word from God can change your life. But if you only hear the word, but you don't act on it, it can do nothing for you. So when you hear it, you receive it, but then you take that next step and you act on the word from God, because I'm going to tell you, man's word can't change you, but God's word can change you.
Many times here in America, we have heard so much of God's word, but we didn't act upon it. And it's like all the time eating without exercising. You just get fat with the word. You don't grow muscles. But when you operate the word of God and you activate the word of God and you act upon the word of God, receiving the word, acting upon it, causes you to have spiritual muscles. Right now, America is filled with a fat church. We're fat because we've heard lots of word, but we haven't always operated on it. But we're going into a period and a season in life where God is requiring us. The line has been drawn, and he's like, you may have hitchhiked along a long time now, but it's time you either get in or get out. So here we are. Let's get in.
Before I picked this up, you forgot. This Friday and Saturday, down at your sister church in the desert, Palm Desert, with Pastor Eddie and Donna, they are now our pastors. We attend there with our families, and they are doing a good job.
They are.
And we love them. And they're hosting the worship conference that Cheryl's going to be doing Friday night and Saturday. And we have information out at the resource table.
You can pick one up on the table. And if you're not going to come Friday night's performance and you're going to come Sunday night, then come and be with us in the desert. I really feel in my spirit that God is calling us into a place of worship. And not a lot of times we hear the word worship and we think platform. But worship's not about the platform. We think of musicians. We think singers. Worship's not about musicians and singers. Worship is about the heart. John, in the book of John, God says that he searches the entire earth over, looking for somebody that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is calling us to learn how to operate in the spirit once again. Operating in the spirit, worshiping God in the spirit, and that is in the service. But if you can't worship God in your bathroom, you won't worship him in church. If you can't worship him in your car, you won't worship him in church. You may go through the motions, but it is nothing more than an act. And God is not looking for actors worshiping him. He's looking for spirit and truth worshiping him.
In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God. Now, we can go on and read the rest of it. In the beginning, God created, formed, fashioned the heavens and earth. But in the beginning, God, period. There's a word from God. You know, there's people in the world that don't even agree that there is a God. How many believe there's a God?
Yes.
Well, you have a head start on a lot of people. In the beginning, God, we agree on that. Then he said he formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. And then in Genesis 1, verse 26, he says, and God said.
Now, you can stop right there. Because there is the key. And God said. Everything that God said, we need to not only just hear it, we need to hear it, we need to understand it, and we need to obey it. Because in Hebrew, the word hear is actually triune. It's threefold, just like God. Hearing it audibly, understanding it mentally, and then acting upon it physically. God says, if you don't do those three things, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear God. He said, you didn't hear me if you didn't act on it. You might have audibly heard it, but if you didn't understand what you heard and if you didn't activate what you heard, God says, you didn't hear me. So when God says, are you listening? He means, are you doing what I'm telling you? Because if you're not doing what I'm telling you, you didn't hear me.
Ooh. So God said, let us make mankind in our image. In our likeness. So I want you to know, when you look in the mirror, you should see a reflection of God.
If you don't think
that you are somebody, take that scripture and go over it. Tape it on the front of your mirror. See, when I look in the mirror every morning, I look up there and I say, you good looking thing, don't you ever die. Because I am created in him, his image, in his likeness. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I'm not an underachiever. I'm an overachiever. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, he left his power and authority for us. But if you don't act on that power or authority, it will do you no good.
It's like having the Word of God in you and never witnessing. And yet I know many Christians who have not witnessed, I'm going to say, this week. Some of you never witnessed your whole life. Witnessing is a part of who you are. This week, I took my family and we went on a little vacation. My mother and my sister, my stepdad died last year. And so my sister and my two nieces, we went on a vacation. I couldn't wait because there's a whole new crop of folks to witness to. I couldn't wait. I started to say a southern phrase. First pee in the dish. I got out of the car and the man that took my keys to valet park the car, I said, "Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" And he looked at me like, "Where do you want me to park your car?" I'm like, I said, "I'm not near as interested in you dealing with my car as I am me dealing with your soul. Where are you going to spend eternity?" And if you don't get comfortable with talking to other people about their eternal salvation, who do you think's going to talk to them? You are the one. You've got to learn to get comfortable. And people are like, "Well, I don't have time." You got 2 minutes. All it takes to give somebody a thought about eternity is 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Who's your Savior? Who do you love? Why, that man said, "Well, I once knew God, but I've fallen away." I said, "Well, you don't have to stay falling away. It didn't take any time at all. People are looking for Jesus. If they don't find Him in you, where are they going to find Him?"
First pee in the dish.
Sorry. I've been with my mama for a week. I can't help it. The southern comes out. It could
Pray
have been worse.
Pray for me. Thank you. Luke 1:26. If you want to write this down for time, Luke 1:26. Just for time, I'm going to paraphrase it. It's a story about the angel who visited Mary. And the angel was sent from heaven by God with a word for Mary. He said, "Mary, let me tell you something. Honey, you're going to get pregnant." Now he's talking to a 13-year-old girl. And he says, "Not only are you going to get pregnant, let me tell you about your son. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. He'll be called the Eminent. He will have a reign without end." Now Mary heard this and automatically something happened. Or you think about a 13-year-old girl who has an angel visit her, and then he begins to say that you're going to get pregnant. In the natural, she said, "I've never been with a man." See, she started to think with her brain, but she needed to hear it with her spirit, because she was trying to figure, how can I get something from the supernatural to the natural? And then something happened.
That's where most people hang up. It's not that they don't believe God can't do it. Most people believe God can do it. They just don't know how He can do it for you. You believe He is capable of doing it. You just don't know how He's going to cause this huge supernatural ability to become natural in your life.
She heard the word, and then she acted on the word, and then she received the word. She said one thing. She said, "Be it unto me as you have said."
She received the word by agreeing with the word. Too many times we think God is waiting on us to do something. And by that I mean, God is not asking you to fulfill His word. God's own word fulfills itself. But He needs you to agree with it. And that just not audibly or verbal assent, I call it. A lot of people verbally assent with God. They assent to it. They consent to it. They agree with it verbally but not mentally. If you agree with God, you have to mentally, verbally, physically, spiritually, "I agree, God. I don't have to understand it." That's a girl thing. "I don't have to get it to know it's real. It doesn't have to make sense here for me to make it sense here. In my spirit, I know that I know that I know that you are able, God. And because you are able, that makes me able because I'm made in your image."
And don't think that that word that was given to Mary only worked in the time when Mary walked the earth. The Bible says that the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when a supernatural word is given to you, have you ever had a word given to you that sustained you?
My life has been a series of words. Yours too.
When our daughter went to heaven, and Cheryl heard the voice of the Lord say, "Your daughter, Gabrielle, is not in your past, but she's in your future."
Changed our life.
It sustained us.
Changed our focus, changed our future. And we literally held on to that word and believed that word until that word became reality. Until we got from believing it to having it in operation. And that's what believing is. When the milkman told me when I was 5 years old that I was going to be Miss America, that was a word from God. Didn't process it as a word from God. I'm 5 years old. I'm in Choctaw County, Mississippi. But God said, one day, little girl, you're going to be Miss America. My spirit said, I agree with that. When your spirit agrees, that word becomes flesh to you. And you begin to operate in it and walk it out because Jesus is the word. People say, well, that word doesn't apply today. Does Jesus still apply? Because Jesus is the word.
Well, what happens when you sit there and say, yes, but it is not working for me? See, his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
To him,
his word
hears.
Never changes. It still has authority. It still has power. And it's still alive because he left us his living word. Well, what happens? Well, let's go in our Bible and let's look at Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 5. Luke 5, verse 5.
Milkman said, one day, little girl, you're going to be Miss America 17 years. And that's what you're talking about. What? It's not working for me. There is a time frame between when the word is given and the operation of it goes into effect, and then you walk in the fulfillment of it. That's the time called faith. That's the time when you operate by faith. That's when you're stepping out on nothing and nothing becomes something up under your feet. That's called faith. Oh, there doesn't seem to be anything there, but God, I'm stepping out because you said it would be.
Now, in Luke 4, I'm going to give you the setup to this.
In Luke
Here's
5.
Jesus talking, but Luke 4. Okay. We're going to go on to 5. Here's Jesus talking, and he is addressing Peter, Simon Peter, and he says to him, put out into the deep. Now I want you to understand, up to this point, they had fished all night and they caught nothing. Now Jesus says to Peter, I want you to understand, this was not a by chance meeting. There were three boats. Jesus said, today is your day that we are going to change your position in life. He said, I am targeting you, Peter. Listen, don't think God is out there just saying it's for everybody else. He's talking to you today. He said, today you have come to this point and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to launch out and drop your nets again. Now, this is where we as humans begin to fail. Peter answered him, Lord, we've toiled all night and we don't have anything to show for it.
I've believed and I've cast out my net and I've cast out my net and I've cast out my net.
Well,
I don't have anything.
Here's what he said. I am a professional fisherman. This is what I do for a living, and I know more about this than you do. And that's the first step to failure, when you think you know more than God knows.
And that's what happens when you say no to God. Every time you say no to God, you're saying, God, I know more than you do. How can anyone have the audacity to believe that you know more than God? How could I ever believe that I know more than God? And yet people every day say no to him when he urges you to do something. When
because
he urges you to say something.
When you get into a position of discouragement or fear.
Or disappointment.
It can deafen you to the voice of the Lord. That's why the angel said, Mary, fear not.
Don't be afraid. Because fear makes you deaf. Fear makes you deaf to spiritual things. Fear makes you blind to spiritual things.
Do not get moved by your surroundings. You see, many of us feel we are a product of our environment, but I want you to know you can take what God's given you and you can change the environment that you go into. Now,
hey, product. I love that. I'm a math person. Product, that means the sum of all the parts put together, the answer. The finished product. You are the sum of all of God added together in you. Why do I say that? Because you are supposed to already be dead. Nothing left of you. You're supposed to be zero. Less of me, more of God. When I get that right, the sum, the product, is not the product of my environment. It's not the adding up of all I've been through. It's not the adding up of being sexually abused and being crippled from a car wreck. It's not the adding up of our daughter going to heaven or me having cancer twice. That's not the sum of who I am. The sum of who I am is Jesus Christ risen from the dead. I am alive and well, and my mortal body is quickened. That's the sum of who we are. Yeah. Come on. Get with it. Hurry up.
Take the coffee pot out of the room back there, please. You're supposed to be in an atmosphere of rest right now, okay?
I am in rest.
You are not.
You should see me when I'm not.
She's a sight. So, he says, launch out. He says, but I know more than you. But then something changes. He says, but.
We have toiled all night, and we have caught nothing.
You ever look, get right there to tell a joke and someone steals the punchline?
But we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing.
I got the same Bible.
Verse 5. Look, I circled it. But.
You know what but means? Cheryl, you're pretty, you're sweet, you're loving, but you a lousy cook.
I heard nothing else but what came after the but. If you're not careful, you will miss everything. But God says, Peter said, I've toiled, I've done nothing, I've caught nothing, but he's about to say what he really is going to make the difference in his future.
As a transformation, he said, but.
On the grounds of your word.
One word.
On the grounds of your word. To him who endures to the end shall be saved. On the grounds of your word I will launch out. It is not about our ability. Never has been, never will be. It's all about his ability. On the ground of your word, I will step out.
He takes that word, and the next thing you know, they get a boatload of fish. Some accounts says 150 plus fish. And he kneels down in the boat. Why? Because at that moment, he said, I know that this had to be something supernatural. Because I toiled all night long. This is what I do for a living. And what we just received had to come from God himself. He said, in my own ability, I couldn't have caught anything. And that's when Jesus says, I'm going to change your future and deliver you from your past. And he says, I will even change your nature.
Changed his name, he changed his nature, and he changed his destiny. God is about changing your destiny.
You can change addresses, you can change jobs, but until God can change your nature, you're going to be sitting in the same boat, doing the same old thing, and expecting a different result. And let me tell you, that won't get you anywhere. But when he says, I'm going to take you from where you were to where I want you to be, let me tell you, there's going to be a transformation. And that which you thought was great
will be nothing.
You're no longer going to catch fish. You are going to
catch men.
And that's such a wonderful thing, because he said, no longer will it be about you. It's going to be about me. That's why you come to church. It's not about you. It's about when you leave here.
What do you do with it?
Oh, let me tell you.
What do you act upon it?
Let's go on to the next scripture. It's the last scripture. We're going to go, which one are we going to, baby?
Matthew 15. Matthew 14.
Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 22.
Then he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat was by this time about an eighth of a mile offshore, and it was being beaten and tossed by the waves, and the wind was against them. But in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they screamed out with fright.
Now,
instantly he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid."
Get this picture in your mind. Jesus is walking from point A to point B because he could walk on water. Now, go to the other part. The men are going to launch out, and they're not God, so they need a boat to get from point A to point B. They're halfway there, and all of a sudden they look out, and they don't even recognize who Jesus is.
Why? Because fear makes you blind.
The situation that they were in
causes them not to be able to see the eternal future of where they're going.
See, sometimes we get in situations in life, we are blinded to the solution because we are focused on the problem.
You cannot be afraid and be in faith at the same time. You cannot go right and left at the same time. You can't go forward and backward at the same time. I have people constantly tell me, "I love God, but I am eaten up with fear." I'm like, let's check your love then, because perfect love casts out fear. Are you sure you're in love with God, or are you in love with religion? Are you sure you're in deep relationship with God? Because God's love is perfect, and God's perfect love casts out fear.
You're either going to operate in faith or you're going to operate in fear. Here, these guys had a choice. We are sitting here. We're in a boat. There's a storm raging. We see a ghost on the water. And the Lord spoke to them and said to him,
"It's a ghost."
God didn't say that.
Oh, the men said that. Oh, you said the Lord said that. I was thinking about something else. He said, "I am."
I hope they listen to my preaching better than you do.
He said, "I am. Stop being afraid."
He said,
"Take courage."
Aha. He said, "I give you the ability, the authority, and the way out of your problem.
Uh-huh.
Just take it."
Wait a minute. You're saying that Jesus didn't say, "In your own strength, get over this."
No.
No. He said, "I have what you need, and I'm giving it to you." Otherwise, he wouldn't say, "Take it." I wouldn't be able to say to Mignon, "Take my Bible," if I wasn't giving it.
He says,
I can't say, "Take my Bible, Mignon."
You've got to
this
act
is take
on
my
it.
Bible, isn't it? Jesus was saying to the disciples, "Take courage. This is what you're going to need. You can't do it yourself, but I've already started the process to bring you through to the other side. Take it."
Now, you would have thought that that would get the men excited. How many acted on the word from God?
Who was he talking to, though? It says here that he said to them, "Take courage." He didn't say to Peter. He said to them, all of them in the whole boat. You would think in this house, if Jesus himself stood up here and said to this group right here, "Take courage." How many would take it? You felt that, didn't you? "Take courage." How many would take it? How many? Let me see. You know what? About 8 of you. And that's exactly what happened within the boat.
Take my authority.
I'll take it.
Take the ability. Take the power. Because I am giving it to you at no charge. All you have to do is act on my word. And when you act on my word, I can take you from where you are to where I want you to be.
Isaiah 61, the last verse says, through the self-fulfilling power of God's word in the Amplified. God's word is self-fulfilling. He doesn't need us, he wants us. If he needed us, then he would not be able to accomplish anything without us. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He doesn't need me. He wants me. That changes everything.
Here's
His word is self-fulfilling.
It said when Peter walked or got out of the boat, he walked towards Jesus. Do you think Peter walked on fear?
No.
Do you think he walked on water?
No.
I think he walked on faith.
He walked on the word.
Because he walked on faith. And he was going towards Jesus with the word that he was given. And when he got to him, Jesus said, "I'll save you from death." And then Jesus humbly went back to the boat with Peter. Why? Don't you think that if one guy got out of the boat and walked on water, it would have motivated other people to get out of the situation they were in? Listen, because God's moved in your life, don't think it's going to excite other people around you. Because seeing is believing with most people. They don't understand faith. But Peter stepped out on a word. He stepped out on faith. And Jesus said humbly, "I'm going to go back to the boat because of your obedience, Peter. And we're going to get the rest of your brothers, your family members, your friends saved." And when they got back in the boat, they all knelt down and said, "Truly,
you are the Son of God."
One man's faith changed everybody else's future. And one man's faith delivered men from the situation that they were in to the safety where God wanted them to be, in the hands and arms of Jesus. That's why you come to church. That's why this Friday night is so important. See, when Jesus said come, it was an invitation. We don't realize that. When he said come, I invite you to have a relationship with me. But you know, we fail. Why? We are human beings. It happens to us. My wife and I were traveling, and we'll close with this. We were coming to preach here about 8 or 9 years ago. And we landed, and we got a rental car in Los Angeles. They normally give us a minivan. This time they gave us a 2-door sport car. and we had two sons, and our boys are pretty big. And we packed everything for 3 weeks in the trunk of this car and in the back seat of the car. We had our books, our tapes, we had our briefcases, we had our clothing, we had the boys' computers for homeschooling. And we're driving down the road, and Cheryl said, I want to buy the pastor's wife a gift. So we pulled downtown Los Angeles, and I said, well, how long are you going to be? She said, 15 minutes. Well, downtown, you know, you got to park your car in them parking lots. They cost $8, $9, $10. We come from the Midwest. That's robbery. I mean, we got plenty of fields to park your car in. And I said, I'm not paying no $8 for 15 minutes. And I saw you could park on the street with a parking meter. And it was 50 cents. I said, I'm going to park the car right here. I said, Cheryl, you got 15 minutes. And I put my 50 cents in, and we got out of the car, and I walked about 10 steps, and I turned, and I said, Cheryl, I'm not real happy. I don't know if I should leave the car there. She said, well, move the car if you want. And she started to...
There's a lot right there. Just move the car.
Now, shopping is a sport to my wife. She puts her tennis shoes on, and she's off. And I'm trying to catch up. I walked across the street, and I turned and said, honey, I'm not happy with where I left the car. And she said, move the car.
Move the car.
I got about 20 more yards down, and I turned around. Before I could say, she said, would you just move the car? And I said, no, I got 50 cents in that meter. And 50 cents is 50 cents. I'm a preacher. And so we went on, and 10 minutes later, we came back, and I went to open the trunk of the car up, and when I looked in it, everything was gone. And I shut the trunk and I open it again like it's going to come back like that, you know? I mean, your mind goes... And I looked at Cheryl, I said, we've been robbed. And she said, do you think so? We had $37. See, they stole our computers. They stole our... Her purse was in the shoulder. We had to cancel our credit cards. They were using the credit cards at gasoline machines. And so we got to the hotel, and thankfully we'd had the hotel on the credit card. We went in and they put us in a nice room, and Roman says, Dad, I'm hungry. I said, we ain't going out to dinner. They stole everything but the car. They might get the car this time, boy. Order a pizza. So he goes over and he opens up the phone book. In the middle of the phone book on the pizza page is a credit card. And it was one of those gold cards, a lot better than the one I had. And I said, this is a miracle. God has supplied us with resources, a gold card. I said, let's go to the pizza and use the credit card.
No, no.
It's, you know, they found money in a whale's mouth. I said, this is a God miracle.
This is not a miracle.
It is.
It's not it your is. Miracle. It's not
How
your
many
miracle.
Of you ever found a credit card in a phone book in L.A.?
It's not your miracle.
None of you. It's a miracle. They should write a Bible, verse, Harry, miracle. Scripture, it, there, chapter
whose,
one.
Whose name is on that card?
Don't matter. It's
Does
a miracle.
Does it have your name on that card?
No, but I can use it.
Your name is not on that card. Therefore, your name is not on that miracle.
There's always someone wanting to rain on your parade.
Your name is on your miracle. You don't have to get somebody else's miracle. You have your own miracle with your own name on it. That's not your miracle. That is your temptation.
She made me take the card down to the front desk. And she didn't trust me. She followed me all the way down.
That's why God sent them out two by two, so they could retain their integrity.
Now, I walked down the front desk, and there's a young lady back there, and I walked up, and she said, hello, Mr. Salem. And I said, I didn't even tell you my name. She said, well, I know who you are. I watch you on television. She said, do you like the room that you're in? I said, oh, it's very nice. She said, I put you in that suite. We wanted to bless you. And I looked at her, and she said, how can I help you? I said, we've been robbed. I mean, you want people to get in the boat of your situation.
Yeah, misery loves company.
You know? And she said, I'm so sorry. She said, well, how can I help you? I said, well, I found this credit card in the phone book. And she looked at, oh, I know her. I put her in that room all the time. See, I'm witnessing to her, and I like to bless her. Do you know what a testimony this is going to be to her when she finds out someone, a believer, returned her card in the middle of Los Angeles?
That's her miracle. Has her name on it.
I said, well, I wanted to bring it back to you. Shut up. But you know, at midnight when I'm laying in bed and I got no clean clothes and I got no computer and I got $37, and all of a sudden I'm laying there, I said, God, where were you at my point of need? Where were you? We've been wrong. Like he didn't know. And his voice came to me. He said, I told you, not once, not twice, but three times to move the car. He said, and your response to me was over 50 cents. I won't heed the voice of the Lord.
Do we disobey?
See, we want the big things, but he says we
over the
sell him short over the little things. I'm laying there in bed. The only thing in my mind was, oh God, you talk to me, but please don't tell Cheryl. She leaned over to me and she said, did God tell you to move the car? It's one thing to hear the voice of the Lord, but I was going to hear hers for the next 2 months, you know. We have a job to do. We hear the word. I believe you've heard the word today. I believe you've received the word. Now, there are some of you who need to act on this word.